You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on what has turned out to be an extraordinary day. With me is Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital for the 5 o'clock shadow, and our guest presenter, as always on a Tuesday and indeed a Thursday, is David Shapiro from Sassman Securities. I have to say, gentlemen, that you know my feelings towards Donald Trump, and I sort of had a little bit of an afternoon nap, I have to admit. I went to sleep with the S&P down 7, and then I woke up with it up 50 points. Now, it's all to do with Donald Trump taking away with one hand and giving with the other. Now, Greg Davies, you start this time because you're a Trump fan. Please explain this psychotic behavior to me.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make David and I's job any easier, trying to make money for clients where the sort of background picture changes so quickly. So what the headlines which I saw was a message from the Chinese government to the US government saying, look, we can do some tariff talks over the phone in the next 2 weeks. Then a few minutes later on the Bloomberg came out of the US saying, those tariffs we're planning to put on 1 September, that can be moved back to December. And that sort of changed back to risk on. The Dow rocketed to 400-500 points up. It's currently up 344. The gold price collapsed, caused me a few problems because all my clients are long gold. But that switching around again. The Rand rallied 15-17. So it certainly added some excitement to the day. The total value of 21.4 billion certainly helped the JSE in terms of action.
Your interpretation of this, David Shapiro?
I think we have to believe that Trump cannot push this to a point where he rattles the global economy and where he undermines his own economy. So it's a matter of time before he pulls back. I think advisors and certainly other observers have been putting pressure on him. And you just look knowing somewhere along the line, he wouldn't push it that far. But to be honest, I didn't expect him to capitulate, if that's the right word, as soon as he did, like now, you know, after a few days, only a few days. So the problem with him is that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, he can get up in front of his own crowd as he leaves in Air Force One or in that helicopter, and he can just give, it wasn't him, Xi, this, and you know how he goes on. You just never know what next is going to come. Unfortunately, you know, between the mouth and the brain, there should be a circuit breaker. I don't think he's got one. You know, why I say that is that exactly as Greg says, you sit here and you say, oh my God, you know, what do we do? Where do we position ourselves? And at the end, I'm not a trader. I'm in a situation where I look after, I'm a much more longer term investor in that. But, it's just scary stuff. You know, when I say scary, look, I'm rather see green on the screen than a lot of red that we're seeing, that we've seen for most of the day today. So, there's still issues here. I mean, we still got, but poor old Greg. I mean, look at these gold shares, 10.
So, I mean, Goldfields was down 15.
We'll come to that in a second. But Greg, can you talk about your love affair with Donald Trump? I mean, I know you only do it to wind me up. You don't love Donald Trump. You know that he's a nut job. You know that he's a psychotic. You know that he is an egotistical, insecure manipulator. What do you say when he suddenly says, well, I'm going to slap these tariffs on? And that was 3 or 4 days ago. And then he says, oh, wait a second. No, we'll take a few of these tariffs off and open the discussions. Why not just be nice and say we're going to open the discussions in the first place? Why do you have to be this showboater? Why do you have to be this schoolyard bully?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what he's trying to do, you know, he's written that book, The Art of the Deal.
No, he didn't write it.
He doesn't know how to write. Well, he can't write, obviously, but a lot of spelling mistakes in his tweets. But I do think that one day, but it's going to take a bit of perspective, 5 or 10 years, we're going to look back and say, he was just the tonic we needed.
No, we're not. We're just going to say that we've had the biggest stock market crash in the world.
To New York, and you mention his name in New York.
They don't like him there.
You just got to run away. I mean, the violence that you can actually arouse in people.
They hate him there. They're
appalling. You know, there's certain elements that support him, but you don't want to walk around with Make America Great Again.
You keep very quiet. I actually put that hat on briefly, and then my wife said, take that hat off. We're going to get beaten up.
Anyway, I'm celebrating at the moment, and it's more relief than anything else. I can just say, I can actually, I don't mind turning on Bloomberg's tonight, you know, just before close to see what happened in that. I just feel more relieved than yesterday. And there wasn't any soccer on a Tuesday. What's tonight? Monday night? There wasn't anything yesterday.
There's some League Cup tonight, actually.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't show it there. I don't know. Anyway,
Ipswich are playing Luton. But anyway, let's get on to the sport. Exciting game. It's like Chelsea Man United. Dollar rand is 15.18. British pound against the rand, 18.30. Euro rand is 16.98. And the euro dollar is 1.1189. That's a stronger dollar, weaker euro by around about 0.2%. If we go down to the gold price, as Greg was referencing earlier on, got the gold price down at 15.04, having been at one stage around about $25 higher than that.
It's down
seven now. The platinum price is 8.57, which is barely changed. And Greg, palladium, give us palladium, please.
Yeah, palladium up $24, 14.55.
Okay, that's obviously because of the potential for global economic growth after Mr. Trump's shenanigans today. The oil price is unfortunately not responding to that. It's $58.37, down 17.
Well, and if we have a look at the... behind there,
okay, if I'm behind by 15 minutes, then give us the latest on the Dow Jones, S&P and NASDAQ,
sorry,
please.
Sorry to be a nitpicker. Yeah, the Brent crude oil is trading at $16.90 at the moment. That's $2.30 better. So it is responding. The Dow at the moment up 336 points. But it was, I think, David, you probably saw the high of around 500 points up at 1 point.
Yeah. Yeah, at 1 point. But,
yeah, so mad. You blink and you miss it.
I know. It's, but I'm just trying to look at, I'm trying to get the latest here as well. I think I've also got delayed, but it's, no, I haven't, I can't get the.
338 up the Dow.
I can't get the Dow.
The FTSE's up 38. NASDAQ's up 117, S&P up 46.
And the dollar rand has suddenly gone 15.13.
Off a bit, hey? It's coming. I'm just noticing because we were up a lot more. It's just coming down a bit. But I suppose shorts cover and because of the unexpectation. I still think we'll end up a lot higher. You know, you kind of get these moves where mid it rushes up, pulls back. But I think as people digest the news, I think they'll start to take more positions and so on.
Okay, both of you, give me a double. I mean, David, you're a long-term trader. Greg, you're a short-term trader. You're surrounded by 30 or 40 short-term traders every day. Give me a double, as they call it. In other words, the bid and the offer on the Dow Jones tonight. In other words, you can say it's 200 to 220 and I can go long or short for the closing price.
I'm going to take the chicken's roots and say up 350.
You've got to give me a double. You're the market maker.
Oh, 250 up to 350 up.
No, that's too... come on now. You can drive a bus through that. Just give me the double, the bid and the
offer.
No,
but listen, the range today has been from the Dow...
It doesn't matter. You're a market maker.
Then they're up 500. That's a perfectly normal double.
In that case, David Shapiro, let's have a look... let's move on to the Stock Exchange News Service announcements, because Greg is clearly not a short-term trader. Cap Industrial Holdings Limited trading statement came out at the top of the hour. This is something that we've spoken about before.
Just come out now,
Have you seen it? What does it mean?
I just see the HEPS down 25 to 31%, which is... This is a share that has been losing altitude heavily over the last couple of months. You know, it was one of the favorites. I think if you would have spoken to us 6 months ago to a year ago, you would have found a lot of supporters. But like that, like so many other businesses, one or two operations go the wrong way and suddenly you start to see, a lot of pressure on the share prices. I think that. I haven't followed it for some time, and this came out right at the end here.
Yes.
So I've still got to go through this. But what I have been following is its performance recently. And, you know, as part of the Steinhoff Group, this is one of the stronger businesses that was within there. But 25 to 35 is a big number downwards. So I need to look at it in greater detail to decide. I'm not a holder of it. I'm not a buyer of it. But I like to read the results in order to establish what's happening in the market. Just to give you an idea, I picked up a chart and this confirms what I was saying. You know, if we go back to the beginning of the year, if we go back to January, this was a share at about 875. It's come down all the way to about 500 now, which is a massive, massive fall, which has come down on very disappointing, very, very disappointing numbers. And so, remember, they had some good businesses in there. Unitrans, they had, which was a superb logistic business. I don't know whether they've got the distributorships in it.
Stanoff has still got that stake. I think it's about 25% stake.
Yeah. But anyway. So, yeah. Just another disappointing company among a whole lot of others that we've seen.
I bank with Absa, and they came out with their results today at 7.05. Greg, we spoke about it this morning, and the share price was up around about 0.3% in the first half hour of trading when the banking index was down a little bit, whatever it was. Anyway, it closed up 1.1%. Yeah, these numbers, I don't know. I said to you, they're pedestrian. It's 5% here, 7% there. It's not great.
It's all in line, really, I think, with his expectations. And I think the share probably would have finished flat to lower. Yeah. But then we did have some buying coming in to the banks. It was one of the few sectors in the green today. So as the situation in the U.S. looked a bit better, you saw all of the banks getting lifted off their day's lows. And it's at least up around 67. But David was saying last week about Nedbank. I don't know if you agree on this one, but there's no compelling reason to rush out and buy the stock right now.
I had a very similar, I must say that just this, we regularly have presentations from overseas analysts, and we just had one from the US on banks, and they're neutral. And we were trying to find some kind of reason, to buy banks or to look at banks there, despite some very attractive valuations. But the outlook still remains very cautious about bank earnings. They don't expect a recession. Analysts don't expect market to go back, but they, on the other hand, they're seeing it as a very late cycle position. So I'm saying globally, banks, which has always been the one area that we've gone into and feel protected, and just somehow in a very low interest rate environment, just haven't got the same kind of appeal. And also with economic activity slowing down, they can't make those fee income anymore. Mm. And Lindsay, the trading's gone, eh? There's no more trading. M&A activity is kind of very sloppy and slow. So it's not the area of the market that, we used
to. Let me ask you this question, both of you now. If you suddenly come back from being away for 2 or 3 years, 5 years, something like that, and you said, and you saw all the economic data, the PMI below 50, unemployment rate rising to 29%, mining and industrial production consistently contracting every single month, we see this, and people leaving South Africa, and you say, well, in that case, I would say to you, well, would you be investing in banks? And you'd say, no, of course not, because there's no people to transact with the banks in the normal way. In other words, put money into it.
I mean, some of these things are 6 and 7 PE.
Exactly, so. But that's the whole point, Greg. What I'm saying now is, but then you say to yourself as a fund manager, well, it's on a 6 forward PE, so I must buy it. But how do you manage the two different things, the macro and the semantics? What do you do? Well, how do you approach this sector?
With caution. We haven't made the money that we all thought that we would. You know, if you look at First Ram, I'm looking at the chart now. If I go back almost 2 years or 1.5 years, I'm where I was. I'm exactly the same position as I was 2.5 years ago. And First Ram, as we recall, when Michael Jordan was there, this was a winner of a place. This is a bank that was innovative. It was rushing ahead, and yet, in fact. To be honest, if I went back to the height that we saw in 2015, we're not too far behind. It's a crude chart that I have here, but I think this time in 2015, that's 4 years ago, the price was 58, call it 58.50. We're below that now. We're 56 rand.
You only spiked.
You've done nothing in 4 years.
You had sort of a spike with the Ramaphoria and all of that.
That's right.
Around 75, but then if you'd not got out there, as you say, you'd have been back to where you were some years back.
And you say, hold on, that's First Trend. What about this?
It's not a penny stock. The one bank which never goes down, and Lindsay and I,
Capitec.
Our favorite is Capitec. It just never goes down. I don't know where they're getting their customers from, but they're loading up customers every month, record numbers.
Lindsay, we were having a discussion this morning, and I think we've got to do the research, and I'm not sure where to get the research from. But we were talking about whether or not the funds from pension funds and provident funds and so on continue to increase, because that was always a source of investment capital.
Yes,
because, yeah, you know, people belong to pension funds. But what the question I'm asking, and I'm throwing it out, you know, for us to actually go and look at it, is, hold on a sec, where are you getting layoffs, and where are you getting companies shrinking in South Africa? What you might find is that more people are leaving the pension fund, retiring, or either leaving the business than are coming in. And therefore, you don't get that you don't get that pyramid, what I call a pyramid scheme, you know, where people keep coming in and somebody more people are there's always more coming in than going out.
It creates a full theory.
That's exactly. And maybe that's also an issue that we're finding now, is that, hold on a sec, the cash flows from these pension funds, whether it's government pension fund or whatever, yes, you might get interest and you might get dividends, but new people coming in is actually smaller than those that are leaving. And you might find that we're running out of money here to actually support the kind of shares that we used to in the past.
Well, this is,
but it's an exercise I have to do.
Yeah, this is all to do with the hole that you spoke about yesterday from Macquarie, and the Groot Gat, as I call it. You were talking about it with Discovery yesterday.
You're on thin ice here, David.
Yeah.
I'm thin ice. Oh, what happened? I better explain this.
Please do.
Is that Macquarie, in looking at Discovery, have valued the life business, or they don't, they value the life, Discovery on embedded value. I'm not going to go into that, but in looking at the life book, or in trying to establish what one would call some of the reserves, you know, that one needs to have against on the life book, they value the policies on a 12-year view, okay, which I think they believe is a conservative way to look at it, that then our contracts are 12, that you discount them on a 12-year basis, whereas Discovery are doing it on much longer term. So in other words, the business that they're writing, they say, will last longer than 12 years. And this is where the difference comes in valuation. This is an analyst's view versus the company's view. So this Larissa van Deventer, I don't know her, but she's much more conservative, and she probably does it in line with peers. I think Discovery say, listen, we've got a different mix of business, therefore you can't compare it. Whatever the situation is, she came to a different value, or found a hole in some of their provisions, you know, which could affect future earnings. That was her view, could affect future earnings, and for what, you know, which I still have to establish the, go through the report in greater detail. But Lindsay, you know, and I'm talking to Greg as well, is, you know, when we start to look at companies that are falling, and I can give you another 10 today that are falling.
Yeah.
The reason is that we're in the market, and we're trying to say, hold on a sec, what is happening to the share price? If I've got people in it, should I get out, or should I buy more? That's what we're saying. Yeah. What is it that is disturbing the market, you know, to an extent that we've got to decide, make decisions? So we're not trying to cause trouble or stir. I'm just trying to get information.
Yes. Yes, we want to understand why the stock's doing that. But that's very often what happens. Something like Discovery falls, the magnifying glass goes on it. Why is it falling? The NHI. But then the magnifying glass goes a bit deeper, and, oh, okay, this is Macquarie reports. Just going back to what you were saying, I think where Discovery's argument is, because they've got the Vitality program, in other words, they know the state of your health. I mean, they know that you run every day and you only see the doctor once. So they'll put when they're doing your life insurance, they'll say, look, David's obviously going to live to 90. So they're saying Liberty and Old Mutual don't have that Vitality aspect to their, he's got this next year. But that's the argument.
Yeah.
Just talking to some, and not even high level, just brokers really at Discovery about this type of thing. They're saying that's how they get their figure. And obviously it's the reserves, which she's pointing out looks a bit light. If you compare it to Liberty and Old Mutual, but they'll say, listen, We know the state of health of our of our people, and that's the way we're going to price it.
What I don't understand is how financial services companies and insurance companies are making a living if they are mainly deriving their income from South Africa. That's what I don't understand, number one. The other thing that I do understand, though, is that these companies, the Aspens and the Discoveries and the Dischems and anything else linked to people spending money in this particular sector have been overvalued. So it's natural that the market comes back. It was too high, and now perhaps it is too low, the whole sector that I've just described.
Yes,
don't you
think
that?
Very good point.
There's something in the middle that we need to adjust here, and maybe it's time to start nibbling away at these stocks. David?
You can. Not me.
I can't, actually, but anyway.
you know what worries me? You see, what you're saying may hold some water, but we're seeing destruction here that I haven't seen for decades. In fact, probably not in my lifetime. So when I see Massmart down 55%, eventually we'll find value when it's a couple of rand. But maybe the whole company by then has been destroyed. The whole infrastructure has been destroyed, and it's going to be very difficult for them to get back. So I've got this whole worry list of businesses that have fallen far, far too far, for me to get excited about. I'm saying, hold on a sec, these companies have been ruptured. It's going to take generations. And EOH, for example, which is down over 60% in a year. And that was only last year. The year before it was even further.
Tongaard.
Omnia. EOH, SAPI, Aspen. Aspen is now trading at 75 rand. Netcare is at another 52 low. We mentioned CAP, Discovery. Discovery didn't bounce today, and that upset me because it's still at 102. It's still down.
I thought after your tweet, massive rally's going to.
Well, this is what I thought as well, because, David, you said in your tweet, I've just spoken to Discovery and everything's fine. I can't give you the exact details of your tweet, but you almost implied that they said that this is absolutely wrong. This whole in the life business is fiction. Well, it wasn't fiction, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. But the market didn't rally on the back of that, which tells me that the market knows best.
Yeah, I know. So whatever I said was irrelevant.
It was rubbish.
I was certainly not responsible for the share price.
No,
I wish I did have that power. I wish I had.
Well, that's a power good from move Mr. Marking. Trump only.
But it's the fact that it's a 102 today is even worrying me even more, that it hasn't responded, that the cavalry haven't come and rescued it. And this applies to a lot of shares. There's another one, Blue Label, as well, which all of a sudden has done a big reversal.
We're supposed to be positive on this.
Oh, sorry.
We'll get positivity later on. We'll talk about football or something.
Lindsay was telling me this morning, someone said we're too negative. Yeah, that Blue Label is a concern, and we spoke about it yesterday. Another 6.5% down today. And it's, again, even if you look at Omnia's obviously now having a rights issue, but a lot of these companies, Tongaard is another example, if they'd had some foresight, and while the share price was still wrong, had a rights issue, had a book build or something. Mm. But I always leave it, it's too late. And exactly what David's saying, then the share price has collapsed and there's nothing you can do. And I mean, Aspen is a real worry with the share price down here. I mean, I think someone pointed out the debt is bigger than the market cap, which is not normally a problem. And the only reason why they're managing to get away with it is because they're paying such a low tax rate. But, it's a worry.
On the upside today, we've got CAP up 3.7%, despite the negative-sounding trading statement. Kumba Aina up 3.3%, South 32 up 2.3%, Fortress B up 1.7%, Truworths up 1.5%. I think their results are coming out later this week, Greg. Truworths.
Yes, the market's expecting an update from them. That Fortress is interesting to see. I think Resilient, which is the parent there, that's reporting later in the week. That Kumba iron ore, that must be the iron ore price there. David, are you watching that?
I think they ex-dividend tomorrow. So there's that's my, there's a 30 rand dividend. If you bought it today, you get a 30 rand dividend or 31 rand dividend. Yeah. And I think the share price was up about 14 rand or that. So I would watch. Look, the iron ore price is holding, but it's still, I think there's still going to be a little more downward pressure on it. There's kind of a bouncing now in the mid-90s, and that I'm watching that very carefully. But I think once the dividend's gone, From tomorrow, we must, you know, we'll watch very carefully. So I think a lot of people have been holding on for the divvy.
For the div, and then you often find it goes X and it goes more than the div X, and then you have a week or two of weakness, you know.
On the downside.
So just watch that one.
Yeah, just watch this one as well. So Vanya down nearly 11%. To 1909. It was nearly 22 rand a share just yesterday. Goldfields down 10.1%. Harmony, a nervous giggle there from Greg Davies. Harmony down 8%. Anglo Gold Ashanti down nearly 8%. And RCL, which we don't need to talk about, down 7%. But four of the five bottom performers in the gold sector. This is becoming volatile. This is becoming untradeable. In fact, I spoke to somebody from Wall Street earlier on today. He wouldn't come on the show. He said the market is now untradeable because of Trump and because of the shenanigans and the tweets and everything else. It's an untradeable market.
Yeah. I've got clients that are saying, you know what? Just let's just sit in cash for a while. And often when they take the money away, it's, don't worry, I'll be back to you in 3 months. You never hear from them again. That's probably why the volumes have been low. I mean, I know today it was a decent, but we've been doing a lot of 15, 16 billions, and a lot of big players that were in the market, hedge funds, are going, you know, it's, give us a call when things settle down, we'll have a go. But for the time being, we'll just sit on call money for the time being.
What are your clients doing, David Shapiro? When you phone up a client in the morning, you say to yourself, look, I'm a long-term investor, and they are in with you for the long term. But when they see 11% down for Sibanye, and over the last 2 weeks it's been up 20% or something ridiculous, what do you say to them?
I haven't been in gold for a long forever.
No, but in general terms.
I think, you know, in general terms, I take a much longer view on markets. And my fear is the South African economy. So I'm not like Greg. I'm not a trader, because I think in these kind of levels, there are a lot of trading positions. But I look at a business and say, okay, where's South Africa going to be 3, 4, 5 years down the line? Where are we positioned here? And that's why I get scared. That's why I'm so scared about some of the losses that we've been, you know, that we've seen. I've never known a period in my life where I haven't been able to dig out something that looks attractive. Yeah. And at this stage, you know, we're trying to get to the bottom of the fear. And I know that a lot of businessmen, and I'm sure some of your listeners here will say, "Ah, oh, you're positive." You know, you can't be positive just because you want to be positive. You know, there's got to be reason or a structure on which you can actually build that, you know, that foundation. And I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it here. And that scares me.
That's very sad.
And
those bank results and so on. Yeah.
It is. No, it's really, really sad that you can't actually find a nugget.
Yes, that's what the situation is. I think David's right there. If a client walks in with R1 million tomorrow and says, you know, we even what sector, you can't, you can't go with any certainty and say this is the cheapest sector and it's going to rally because anything can happen.
Until we stabilize this country, until I see that Impala, I see that miners now have rejected, I think, rejected an offer from Sibanye and also from Impala. Yeah. So you're going to get more issues along those kind of lines, which just weaken our economy. And so I'm happy if somebody could give me even 3 or 4 good companies that I could invest in. You know, we'll look at them, but I've been very, very distressed about corporate performance over the last, you know, certainly over the last year.
Okay, let's end the discussion now with firstly you, David. Normally it's the Shapiro shock of the day, but is there anything that is not a shock? Shapiro's story of the day?
You know, I think the shock of the day is Trump. his sudden turnaround. But I have to, I have to point out that I'm still looking at Discovery, and I'm looking at it with concern. And I still haven't got to the story. I'm still trying to find out what is disturbing people in this company. You know, wherever you've read, management has been held in such high esteem.
Yeah.
And, you know, even today, I honestly don't think Larissa, I honestly don't think I, you know, when I talk about myself, have the power to push the share price like this down. I think there's some other factors that are disturbing people there. So, you know, I think to me, it's still the one that I'm watching very, very carefully. And the other one is Aspen as well. Aspen and Sasol are showing exceptionally weak performance. And as holders of those in portfolios, I'm particularly concerned.
Yes, and I mean, if you go and look at the Sasol quality of the, you know, the Alan Grays and so on that hold this coronation, that hold the stock, you would think that those fund managers would be talking to the board of Sasol and saying, give us a little bit more clarity.
Yep.
But there's never been an instrument devised in the history that can work out where there's risk and what the right price of something be other than a stock market. And exactly what you're saying on Discovery, there's got to be something which is troubling the market there.
Yeah. No, dead right, Greg. You know, and also because wherever I've read a report on Sasol, it's been a very positive report.
Yes.
And I'm saying, well, if it's so positive, why aren't the people buying? why are they not buying? And same thing with Aspen and Discovery. I want the cavalry. I'm shouting, you know, I'm trumpeting for the cavalry. They're not coming.
You look and Discovery. You should imagine that management would start buying shares, but apparently it's a closed period.
Early
September. So I'm watching the SENS announcements on Discovery, and it's been fairly quiet from them. I wonder what they can say in a closed period.
No, don't.
Greg Davies,
I'm not running past the Discovery building for another few months. So Greg, you're not going to see me in the
down my side,
in the village that area now at the mark.
That's safe. You can't even slow your car down at the robot outside this.
Okay, you two. Greg, your nickname is the digger. What have you dug up? Let's find out what the digger has dug up today, outside of what we've spoken about today.
Just in general terms, I mean, it's a lesson today on how rapidly a gold market can turn on you. I mean, I'll just give you the range for Sibanye. We did speak about it, but the high today, 21.76, the low, 18.50. Turned over nearly 26 million shares, 527 million rands worth of value. So the speed at which these type of markets can turn against you, it's terrifying. You know, if clients are holding those and you sort of put the phone down and everything's good at 21 rand, half an hour you ring back and it's 19. And it did put in that low in quite a bit of volume as well. So, you know, it's white knuckle stuff, this gold investor.
Indeed. And finally, Lindsay's lesson is that when you see a company like Sasol moving from Rosebank to fancy buildings elsewhere, spending hundreds of millions of rands on these buildings,
Lake Charles,
say to yourself, never mind Lake Charles, but if you're feeling so flash and so confident that you have to build this extraordinary building and move away from Rosebank, something is a little bit too cocky. The same thing happened with Discovery. They built this flashy building, and ever since that building has been in place, the share price has been doing one thing, gradually going down and accelerating. That's Lindsay's lesson. The next time you see a company moving to flashy premises, just be a little bit cautious on it. Greg, give us the closing prices, please.
So I'm just watching the Bloomberg now. It looks like there's big problems at the Hong Kong airport. The police trying to clear the terminals there. But the bank's up 0.67. Financials down 0.44, industrials down up 0.07. That's mostly Naspers lifted us this afternoon. The retail is down 0.37. Gold index clattering, nearly 9% down. Platts down nearly 4%. Resources down 1.65. That left the all share down 0.33%. 55,192. So holding that 55. Volume of 21.4 billion.
And finally, the S&P is currently up 1.7%. The Dow Jones is up 1.6% at 26,303, up 405 points, thanks to Donny J. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.